Okay, off we go. Just close the door. Should have done that first. No problem. Okay, so if you could just both start, just for the record name, by just stating your names.
Right, my name is Pamela Wilkinson.
Mine's Bryn Wilkinson.
Okay, so Pam, obviously we've been in touch because of your... you saw the website and you saw the project that we're trying to do.
I did.
And so you were born and grew up in the area?
No, that's okay. Not quite right. Right. I was born in Yorkshire.
Okay.
And at that time that I was born, my father was manager of the Wakefield Opera House. And he knew the people that owned the Isolde Cinema. And they approached him and asked him, would he be interested in coming to Cheltenham as they were taking over a cinema and completely changing it from what it was, upgrading it and putting in, at the time it was called Cinematograph and Stereophonic Sound. And it was the first cinema in Cheltenham to have stereophonic sound and these huge wide screens. The first film that was shown when they opened was called The Robe, which was a wonderful film, very well known, and there was queues up and down the high street for about a month to see that film.
Okay. So how old were you at the time?
8.
Okay. So you were born in Yorkshire then and you came down and your father took it over and you were 8 years old.
Yes.
So perhaps we concentrate on your life there for a second before we focus on the cinema.
Right.
So what do you remember from those early years or from that those first experiences when you moved down?
Right. I had a brother who was 2.5 years older than me and we went to Denali Primary School together.
Which is in St Paul's, right?
Yes. Yeah. And... the idea was that my brother was supposed to wait outside the gate for me every night to walk home with me. But brothers being brothers, one particular day he thought, blow it, I'm not waiting for her. So I started to walk home and couldn't remember the way. Ended up in the middle of Cheltenham and went up to a policeman and said, I'm lost. Told him that I lived at the Isolde Cinema and he took me home, which was wonderful. And that was my first with policemen.
Not the last, obviously.
No, my two sons are policemen as well.
Okay.
And I work for
There's
the police.
There's a connection there.
Yeah.
Is that right? Okay.
Yeah. I can remember we lived in the flat over the cinema and I can remember the shops that were all around. You've probably heard of Idle's Fish and Chip Shop.
Mm-hmm.
We had a bookmaker's shop that was called Cook's. And then we had sweetie shops, flower shops, fish and chip shops. And I remember all those shops as if it was yesterday.
Yeah.
Never kept in contact with anybody. After leaving Denali Primary School at the age of 11... I then went to Christchurch School for Girls. And I remember walking to work, walking to school every day and coming home.
Did you go to school with people that primarily lived in the same area?
Yes, yes. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, not in contact with any of them now, so many years ago, but... In those days, you could actually play out in the streets with your ball and whatever. One of my favourite ones was standing outside stopping traffic and pretending I was a policeman. very fond memories.
Okay.
And cake shop up the road and boots chemist up the road. And my father was well known because he was the manager of the cinema and every day he had... to go to the bank and he sort of knew everybody in the shops and they would all say, morning Mr. Lewis, and I used to sort of walk with him and was very proud of my dad.
Mm. So you mentioned that most people knew each other.
Yeah.
On the high street, so that would seem to suggest that it was, when you moved there, already quite a tight-knit community.
Yes. So everybody was friendly in the shops that we went to. But the one thing we did find was if you were out in the street, people weren't as friendly as they were in Yorkshire, where we came from.
Okay.
We did find a difference there with Cheltonians.
Oh, right. So the north-south difference, perhaps.
Yeah.
Okay. So the people you obviously went to school with, children that also lived in the area, if I ask you the kind of people that lived on the Lower High Street, in those areas, so we're talking here like early mid-1950s?
Yeah, mid-50s, yeah.
Okay, so how would you describe the people that lived in the area? How would you characterise them?
Well, friends that people that I became friendly with were okay, but there was an awful lot of what I would say were naughty people that would go into the cinema and sit at the front and make a lot of noise, and my father used to have to throw them out because they were naughty. I have quite a lot of memories of that, actually. My father wouldn't stand any nonsense.
Mm-hmm.
But it was wonderful days, and we had big films that, at the time, it was the Gorman Cinema and the ABC. And as we grew older, my brother became a projectionist, and I used to serve on the sweet kiosk.
Okay.
So we're talking about now when I was about 12 or 13. Mm-hmm. And at the beginning of every evening show, my father was always there in a dress suit, showing the crowds in. My husband said about the cat. We had a little black and white cat, and the cat was sort of marked like my father's dress suit, you know, the black and the white. And he used to sit at the side of my father, and it became quite well known that Nat Lewis and his cat. But yeah, very happy memories of those days. But it did all change when my father was attacked.
Okay, so perhaps we'll come on to that in a second, because you said there were kids that, you know, some kids are like tomatoes, but I suppose that's the same kind of everywhere, you know, when there's a lot of kids about.
Yeah.
But I'm just trying to understand, you know, the, you know, who the kind of people that lived in the area in this period.
Oh, right.
So obviously you've got very happy, fond memories of being in the area. But obviously one of the things that the area is associated with nowadays is being a bit more run down, being slightly the shabbier end of town, perhaps a little bit edgier at certain hours of the evening.
Yes.
And one of the things we're trying to understand, and this is where you might be helpful, is when that really begins to happen, or when people's perceptions of the area begin to change.
I think it was always, at the time we were there, it was, oh, the Lower High Street, as if people looked down on it then.
Okay.
And
why do you think that was? Was it because it was a primarily working class area, or...?
It possibly was, and the type of shops weren't as posh, if you like, as the ones up the other end of Cheltenham.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, I think it was. Even all those years ago, I think it was the shabby part of Cheltenham, which I always thought was very sad, really.
Mm-hmm.
But the people that we knew in the shops were the same as us. And we didn't have all these... there wasn't so many foreigners in those days. We were all sort of English people that... in fact, I didn't know any foreigners back then.
So the area wasn't as, like, mixed in terms of different cultures or...
No, I don't think it was.
Groups.
I can't remember it being...
Do you remember there being an Irish population there?
No, not really.
Mm-hmm.
We had a pub just over the road from the Isoldo. I think it was called the Shakespeare.
Yeah. Which I think is the Shamrock now.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
We used to get noisy drunks on a Saturday night, but not like it is today.
Mm-hmm.
You know, yes, they were noisy for a bit when the pubs shut, and then it would all quieten down.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going back many, many years, really.
Okay.
I can't remember it being a troublesome area.
You mentioned this idea, this is not the first time I've heard it, of the fact that other people from outside used to look down on this area. Is there a sense you get that the people from there also didn't really like people from other areas of Cheltenham? There was an us and them mentality, perhaps?
I think probably I was too young to notice that. I really don't know whether my parents noticed that.
Okay. Because the Isolde was one cinema among many in Cheltenham,
yes,
wasn't it?
Yes, it was.
So primarily it served people from this part of town.
Except because they put in this cinematograph widescreen and stereophonic sound, and it was the only cinema at that time that had it, we were getting crowds of people from everywhere.
Yeah.
Because to sit in a cinema and have the sound going all the way around back in 1953 was, wow, what's this?
Mm-hmm.
And literally there was queues at the high street for many, many years.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, the other cinemas started to get all this in. So, I mean, it's been referred to as the flea pit that I've seen. Now, the flea pit was, before the Isolde took it over, it was the Ritz.
Mm-hmm.
And from what I remember, it was the Ritz that was the flea pit. It was certainly much more upmarket when it was the Isolde.
Okay. And that was part of the renovation for your father taking it over?
Yeah.
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 Okay. Yeah, because some of the other residents I've spoken to that grew up in the area mentioned this idea that people used to look down on people that lived at that end of town, the lower high street area. But there was also a bit of an us and them. Well, you know, you don't like us, we don't really like you. There's a bit of a class divide.
Mm.
You know, the kind of middle, high class Cheltenham.
Yeah.
And, you know, ordinary people Cheltenham down here.
I understand what you're saying, but I suppose because I was only quite a young person, I didn't notice that.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So your father took over, I remember, in 1953. Okay,
yeah.
And he ran the cinema for how long?
I think it was about 1960-61 when he left.
Okay.
But I can't be absolutely sure on
that.
And
you were there that whole time?
Before? No, we actually only lived in the cinema for about 5 years, and then we moved to Coronation Square when that had all just been built.
Okay, all right, on the other side of town.
So my father was still manager then, but really from when he got the tat was really, he didn't feel he wanted to go back and carry on.
Okay, so was that the moment that after the attack your father moved to Coronation Square?
No, we'd moved
before.
Just prior to that, but I can't remember dates exactly.
Okay, no, that's fine. Mm. So you mentioned this attack on your father, which happened outside the cinema.
Yeah.
Was this the first kind instance of its kind on the street that you remember, or was it something that had happened previously, perhaps?
No, I don't remember there being sort of trouble down that end prior to that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, when my father was attacked, we were living at Coronation Square, and the first we knew of it, the police came to the door and sort of said to my mother, your husband's been taken to hospital,
mm-hmm.
he's been attacked. So I think that must have been about 1959, 1960,
okay.
The attack. If I dig out that echo thing, it might have a date on it.
Yeah,
might help.
Yeah.
Mm.
Okay. So was that kind of after it happened, obviously there was a court case,
yes.
And the two people were convicted.
Yeah.
The result of that was that your father decided that he didn't want to run the...
Yeah, he just felt that if this is the way it's going to go, he didn't want any part of that.
What do you think he meant by that? As in, was it the business or that the street itself was changing or... The area.
I think he was more worried that I've been attacked once. This could happen every Saturday night when I go out with the Dakins. And back in those days, I mean, it was a terrible thing to be attacked, you know. And it just changed, I think, his... I mean, I'm sat here saying this, and if he was here, he'd probably say, no, it was really going to starting to go downhill, and I didn't want to... That's probably the truth, I don't know. Mm. But you say it was 1973 that you policed the area, so that's way after, isn't it, really? Yeah. I don't know when it started to... Crime started to come to the Lower High Street, because we'd moved to Hester's Way by then. Mm. And when I left school, I went to the college in Gloucester, so... I didn't really have much to do with that area after that, so...
How long... Did you know what was happening to the cinema after that, after your father left the business?
Or? Yeah, somebody else took it over and kept it running as a cinema, but I can't remember for how long. The next thing I remember, it was turned into a bingo hall. Mm. But then things started to change with other cinemas in the area as well.
Yeah.
I know my brother, who was a projectionist at the Isoldo, then went as a projectionist at the ABC. So he'd already actually left before my father got attacked. Mm. I think he wanted a bigger cinema, and they were doing sort of over in Gloucester, the ABC were doing more stage shows, which my brother was more interested in than doing projectionists. So.
I see.
Okay. Mum didn't really have anything to do with the running of the cinema at all. She was a typical mum. She was there when we came out of school, and the old-fashioned type of mums.
Mm-hmm.
But I always worked in the cinema with my dad and helped out and loved it.
Yeah. Do you ever... One of the things that in the newspaper article that came out recently, which is one of the first times I've heard it, is that the area's been... was referred to as Lower Dockham.
Yeah, I didn't know that.
It's not something that you heard or remember?
No. When I read about it, I thought, oh, I don't recognise that at all.
Mm.
Could that have been before my time, do you think?
It seems as if it has its origins before that.
Yeah.
It seems to have something to do with the old railway station.
And the gasworks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the fact that the way it connected this part of Cheltenham with the docks in Gloucester. Come in. Sorry.
Erin not about?
No, she's gone.
Sorry, apologies.
Right.
So, no, I don't remember anything about it being called Dockham when I was there.
Okay, yeah, I mean, it seems like people have different memories about this.
Yeah.
And some people seem to think, well, that Lower Dockham wasn't really the Lower High Street, it was a bit further down
towards
the gasworks.
Yeah.
But then... Obviously, this the reporter in the Echo, who publishes this nostalgia column, decided to call it Memories of Lower Dockham because some people must associate it with that part of town as well.
Ah, right.
So after you left this area, so you lived there for about, what, 5, 6, 7 years?
Probably seven, eight years.
You didn't go back much or ever go through again or...?
Well, only in the normal course of if there was anything I wanted from a shop down there, I would come back. But I never went to the bingo hall. No, I've never been back there. But I've got fond memories of when it was the Isoldo, which was my parents' bedroom and the sitting room and the kitchen, and our bedroom was round the back.
Yeah.
And out of our window was a fire escape. That was our view.
So, I'm because, again, one of the things that's interesting about this is the way that people think or remember the area changing. Now, obviously, you know, people often move and go and live elsewhere, you know, throughout their lives. But I'm just wondering if you could notice that the area had changed a bit. Obviously, the cinema itself had changed and became something else.
Yeah.
But like a lot of the shops there became many other businesses.
Yes.
I'm just wondering whether, in the years that have gone by, I mean, how long did you stay in Cheltenham before leaving?
I've been in Cheltenham, apart from the odd 5 years in Bristol. I've been in Cheltenham from the age of eight all my life.
Okay.
So I know it fairly well. And I noticed when Manners the Butchers had gone and read in the Echo that somebody had died, and I remember Idle's Fish Shop when they closed down, you thought, oh, well, we won't be going down to Idle's Fish Shop, because they were the best fish shop in the whole of Cheltenham.
Mm-hmm.
And after we left, I know my father used to still come to Idle's to get his fish. And up the road was Mac Fisheries, and they were fairly good. But the shops did change. They became more... I think there was a couple of antique shops came.
Mm-hmm.
And then we had a Polish shop. So there was nothing that brought me back to it, really. Mm-hmm. Once I'd moved on, I'd moved on.
Mm-hmm.
And I must admit, nowadays, there's never anywhere that I would go and shop now.
Yeah.
In fact, we never come down the Lower High Street,
well,
do
no,
we?
Well, no, there's not many people do, really, unless they're on there. I mean, we're
just past through it, don't
we? Yeah.
I mean, they're doing all that in the brewery, which is lovely, if you want to see a film or eat or whatever. And it's about time they did the Lower High Street. Mm-hmm.
Well, this is part of the reason that we're involved in this, is because they are supposed to be doing a lot of different things. They're supposed to be building pocket parks in certain places to kind of spruce the area up a bit.
Yeah.
And our objective, essentially, is to try and, even though this area is unofficially the shabby end of town, it has a certain history.
Yes.
It has a certain story for people, you know, aside from, you know, the King and the King George coming to take the waters in Cheltenham, and then you get the Regency and the shopping and the racing and all sorts. There is also a lot of history that happens here and that matters to a lot of people. So because you lived in Cheltenham, you obviously think that what, you know, you can perhaps comment on what other people from Cheltenham, how, you know, what the general perception is of that area.
Yes, friends of mine said, oh, you didn't live down that Lower High Street, did you? Yes, I did, but it was okay when I lived there.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, you're quite right. It is looked down upon.
And that's been, you would say that, has that been consistently that way, that people have always thought of it that way?
I do.
Yeah.
I do. In fact, sometimes there were certain people I wouldn't tell I lived down there.
Really?
Mm.
Because, what, you were ashamed?
I was ashamed, and that they would think I was, like, as not as good as I thought I was.
Mm.
You know, I mean, the schools I went to, I feel I was well educated. When we first came to Cheltenham, I had a Yorkshire accent, and when I was at school, it was said that they couldn't understand what I was saying, and the result of that was my father sent me to elocution lessons, which was in Pitfield. I had to go for elocution lessons. And
what was the area when you were growing up there, or perhaps even after you left, was it as poor as other people from Cheltenham believed it was, do you think?
I think it probably was.
Really?
Yeah. I think it probably was.
And what makes you say that?
Because the kind of shops we had down here weren't as nice then as the shops at the top end of the high street.
Is that because they're privately owned?
I don't know. I seem to remember it was always a bit cheaper than the Lower High Street.
It was all family-run businesses, wasn't it?
Yeah. We didn't have any big apart from Boots. And we had Gardens Cake Shop, and that was very popular, the cake shop. We had a little post office, we had a dress shop, I think that was privately owned. And when we lived there, we used to go, my mother took me, and we used to buy our dresses in that dress shop. If that dress shop was still there now, I probably wouldn't go to it, you see. I'd probably go to Calf House or...
So, essentially, it seems like the shops that were all there catered for the people who lived in that area predominantly.
Yes, I would say they did. Mm. Which sounds as though I'm saying it was below the rest of Cheltenham. But now, at my age now, I'm not ashamed to say I spent my childhood down there because they were very happy days. Mm-hmm. And certainly not the trouble that is around now. I mean, I wouldn't walk down the Low High Street on my own now. Then, as children, we could go out after dark and we didn't fear for our lives like I think it is now. Now, I don't know if that's any different to being at the top end of the high street at this time.
Mm-hmm.
But even back in those days, it was safe to be out in the streets.
Okay.
Even though we were classed as the lower high street,
mm-hmm.
I don't think we were classed as lower rate citizens because we lived down there. Maybe some people thought we were, but I didn't feel like that.
Mm-hmm. And so what was the big difference from other parts of Cheltenham? I mean, when you're from the Lower High Street and you're growing up there, what is the other parts of Cheltenham? What are you thinking about? Are you thinking about Pitville or the Suffolks or...?
I'm probably thinking about the Promenade and and places like that. And yes, in time... I remember I was 15 when I left school and I went and, due to my father, got me in to be a secretarial trainee at Doughty, the Doughty group.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Now, I wanted to be a policewoman at the time, but I had to be 19, so I had those years to fill in. And I went to be one of the trainees at Doughty's. Now, this will probably make you laugh, but... The people that got to be a trainee at Doughty's were usually doctors' daughters or solicitors' daughters. But my father was a cinema manager. What influence he used, but he got me an interview. Mm-hmm. I went for the interview and I was accepted.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that probably tells you that maybe I thought I was a little bit better than my friends that went to work in Woolworths and things like that. So maybe there is that little bit of divide coming out in me.
Mm-hmm.
You're making me feel like that now. Oh, no, see? Just talking about that's what happened.
Mm-hmm. I mean, there's no getting away from it that, you know, we, British culture is, there is this class hierarchy.
There is.
Know. We have it.
We do have it.
So it's finding out how what people's experiences are of it as they grow up.
Yeah, I think from the age of 15 I probably felt that, you see.
Okay.
Because when I moved on to be a secretary or trainee at Doughty's, I tended to mix then with the girls that I met then and not the girls I used to go to school with that were still living down here. Well, yeah, still living down here,
mm-hmm.
you see, so I did move on.
Yeah.
So perhaps I came as snob as well.
Well, I mean, you know, this just the way you remember your experiences, I suppose. Yeah. I just wonder because, you know, all the shops and all the businesses that were on there, and obviously your father running a cinema, obviously you must have been fairly comfortable.
Yeah, I was comfortable until the attack on my father.
Mm-hmm.
And the people that owned the cinema somehow arranged, or my father arranged, I'm not sure who, but every night we had a police escort
mm-hmm.
up to the bank with our money. You wouldn't get it nowadays, no. But as I got older, I was the one that used to go with the policeman to put the money in the bank.
Okay.
So there became that element of, even back then, that you didn't feel safe after my father had been attacked.
Mm.
That's when it changed. And
well, some of the other interviewees have said that It was sometime in the 1960s that once the big supermarket stores, the bigger stores started opening in other parts of the town, that these small family-run businesses started to close down.
Yeah.
And you started to get in either empty shops or other kinds of businesses coming in.
Yeah. I think that's when the big change did come about, and it became more the lower high street stigma about it was when those big shops opened. I mean, I can remember when we had the Tesco store, I stood and watched it burn down, you know, and that's only just a bit out from lower high street. We all stood and watched it burn down.
So you must also remember when they had the old grammar school, where the brewery is now, yeah.
Yeah, remember the old grammar school. I remember it all, really. It's putting it together, but I also have seen how everything's changed. I mean, yesterday I think we drove up the lower high street and I looked up and I thought, oh, all the windows are boarded up now in the bingo hall. And I think I read somewhere it's all going to be pulled down or whatever.
I'm not too sure what's going to happen there. I know that they're building one of the pocket parks around it.
Well, there was like a car park area behind it, so maybe... And it looks as though it all needs to be pulled down now.
Yeah, well, it certainly needs something.
Yeah.
I mean, it's interesting that some of the oldest buildings in the town are on or around that street.
Really?
Yeah. Because a lot of it, I mean, the small buildings at the back and the back streets have very medieval origins.
Yeah, they do.
Also because the street lines take the lines of the old plots that they used to have. The
allotments.
Yeah. That's the shape they take.
Yeah.
So, Bryn, I was hopefully asking you, so your memories of the area are a bit later when you...
Mid-70s, yeah.
So when you're a police officer in... Cheltenham.
Yeah.
And then you obviously had experiences of working in it.
It's just the usual drunkenness, really. You know,
was any different there to any other part of the town, or...?
I suppose the High Street and the Promenade and Winchcombe Street, all that sort of area, we got occasionally out of the nightclubs, very occasionally. But if there was going to be any trouble, it would be Lower High Street, Hester's Way, Warden. They were the three main places for trouble. And of course, when I started, you know, footbeat for the first 2 years. But occasionally you'd still be in the van, or the Black Mariah, or whatever you want to call it. You used to call it the van. And you just got sent to your jobs. But I mean, most of the time, you're just doing a thing that a policeman never does nowadays, and that's shake hands with a door handle.
Mm.
You used to go around checking the shops, checking the back of the shops, you know, the windows. And so we were so mainly looking burglars, because at that time it was quite prominent, especially domestic, commercial shops burglary, you know. And, just foot patrolling, and if there was a bit of noise going on, just keep an eye on it.
So presumably if you're on the beat a lot, you met a lot of people as well, and they knew you, right?
Yeah, well, the thing is that the foot beats used to stop by the bowling alley. The bowling green. So the Lower High Street was actually policed by a local... Bobby St. Paul's, I think it was there. Or he might even been St. Mark's. Swindon Road, yeah. Mm. So Swindon Road officers would patrol the Lower High Street. I mean, because we had pandas in those days, you know, Vauxhall Beavers. So they covered the Lower High Street, and we only came down to this part of town with the van if there was a punch up.
Right.
And that's... So my only dealing in the Lower High Street was with punch-ups and helping throw bodies in the back of the van to take them to the police station. The rest of the time, we were, like I say, from the bowling green up towards Boots Corner, Black and White Cog Station when that was going, all the way up to Montpellier Gardens, round by, I forget the name of the road now, it's one just before the hospital, comes up from Bath Road.
Mm-hmm.
Bath Road, you'd go then back up to the Strand, and that was basically the footbeat areas.
Mm-hmm.
The quietest one of the lot was Montpellier, because all you got to do was walk around there, because there wasn't the wine bars then, mm-hmm. back in the 70s.
Was it just mainly retail shops?
Mainly retail shops and Montpellier Gardens.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you were looking for people sleeping in the gardens, mm-hmm. basically.
But you said that, you know, if there was normally the dominant areas for any kind of trouble were Lower High Street was one of them.
Lower High Street, parts of Hester's Way and parts of Warden, they were the main problems, you know, like drunkenness and fighting.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, you get one or two incidents coming out of the nightclubs in the High Street, because there were a couple of nightclubs then in the High Street.
Why do you think the trouble was always down the Lower High Street and the punch-ups and the... Is that going back to what we were saying just now?
You had more spit and sawdust pubs down here that way than you did in the town centre. Town centre where you saw bigger... bars and restaurants catering for the racegoers and stuff like that, you know, so all sort of people. So therefore, you wouldn't, people like you and I, back in those days, would spend most of our time in the
ordinary pubs, right?
Ordinary pubs on the estates, bottom end of the High Street.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why you had the more...
Would you call them more working class pubs?
Working to work to middle, yeah, work that side of society. Yeah. Whereas, you know, Cab House, well, I'm a policeman's pay, never went anywhere near Cab House.
That was the posh part, wasn't it?
It was the posh part, yeah.
It was always called the posh part.
I mean, I recall reading somewhere, I know it's going off the Lower High Street, but back in the early 1900s, you used to have a police officer at one end of the promenade and a police officer at the other end of the promenade, and if you didn't fit into what they considered suitable people to be on the promenade, you were turned away.
Yeah. That is like the class divide with iron bars,
yeah.
You know? Not just ideas of, you know, they're higher, we're lower.
Yeah.
But
it's a pity they didn't have that in the Lower High Street then, and maybe we wouldn't have come, like, you're lower than the low because you come from the Lower High Street. Because that's the truth, isn't it?
Yeah, I've heard stories of, and again, I'd have to try and find out if that's true, but on the other side of this campus, St. Paul's Road, that goes on the other side, then it goes up to Clarence Square.
Yeah.
That there's a big difference there when you get to the end of that road, and there used to be a gate there apparently between, you know,
Clarence Square and
St. Paul's Road.
It wouldn't surprise me.
Well, St. Paul's, even when I lived in the Lower High Street, St. Paul's was always like there was always trouble. It was always at St. Paul's,
right?
And that's going back to when I lived in the Lower High Street. It was always trouble at St. Paul's, Folly Lane.
Mm-hmm.
It was always trouble in Folly Lane.
I'm trying to think how one of my instructors said about Cheltenham.
Oh, about the ladies and...
The colonels and their ladies.
Yeah.
He said it's for the promenade, and the rest of Cheltenham is the colonel's ladies with dirty underwear.
Yeah. You've been... But they did used to say
that was Cheltenham. That was Cheltenham,
right?
And that was back in the '70s.
Well, you see, this is where a town where class is really apparent, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's not a huge place, but you've got big differences between the people.
Well, when you look, you've got Lansdowne with all the Georgian buildings there, what they used to be like, and you've got Battledown, and right next to Battledown, you've got Warden,
which I live just next to. Well, I live on Presbury Road, so.
But I mean, you see, it's
the reputation
that Warden used to have, because he was a council estate. When they built Hastert Way, initially Hastert Way had a good reputation, but of course when the youngsters from Wadden grew up, they went down to Hastert Way, so Hastert Way got a bad reputation. Wadden calmed down, and their youngsters grew up, and they went back to Wadden, and it's just seesaws like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but when you think about it, all those...
Oh, used to.
All those people that we used to get trouble with, because I used to work for the police as well for many years, they were all from Wadden or Hester's Way. Mm. They weren't. They were High Street. Mm. But then also, I suppose Lower High Street wasn't that residential then.
Well, see, yeah, and also Hester's Way, they're a lot more residential, aren't they? Wadden, they're huge residential areas, whereas the Lower High Street is actually quite a small area.
Yeah.
I mean, you do. There are a lot of houses coming off, but still, I think.
But it wasn't really known as a big trouble quarter, was it?
No, I mean, one of the things going back years, when you had flats above the shops, where you had the shopkeepers living above the shops, and so you always had somebody living on the street.
Yeah.
When they did away with the flats over the shops and people moved out to the new estates and new houses and things, and so therefore the shop, the high streets or whichever street, the retail shops streets became empty.
Mm.
So all you had then was the Thin Blue Line patrolling it and people who were out for a night out using it, and that was it. You didn't have anybody looking out the window, listening out the window to see what was going on.
Yeah.
And when you had that, you had the police force then had eyes and ears from the public on the main streets.
Mm.
Nowadays, you haven't got it.
Yeah.
So they depend on closed circuit TV.
Mm.
But all you can do is see things with that if the camera's pointing the right direction.
Yeah.
If you've got a person there, they can hear it, look for it, find it, tell you about it.
Yeah.
You're quite right there, because all the shops, like the Idylls and the Sweet Shop and the Bookies, we did all live above the shops and we all got to know each other in that little area. I can't say we all socialised with each other, but everybody was friendly. So, yeah, you're quite right. I mean, back in the middle 50s to the, you know, to maybe the beginning of 60s, it was a nice, nice area. It was, it wasn't an unsafe area then, which I feel it is now.
Mm. Well, I think that's the general perception now, that it's more unsafe than other parts of the town.
Yeah. But then I don't think I'd feel safe in any part of the town when I know what goes on. Mm. And as I say, my two sons are both policemen still, so we're still in the know of what is going on. And what
locally? They're
One's the eldest lad, he's the main trainer for the police dogs. He was a dog handler for most of his career. And our young son, who's been in, 11 years now, he's stationed at Banfurlong on what they call the instant response unit, and every job he goes to is blue lights because it's grade one jobs all the time, and it seems to be trouble and nutters and Facebook people and rubbish. I don't know if we've been very helpful.
No,
really,
you have. No, thank you very much. I think that's been really interesting. I know it must seem strange because you're just talking about what you know, so you don't know if what you're telling me is what I need, but it is.
Yeah.
I mean, you lived and you have a perception of the area, you've had working experiences there. I've also had the area may have changed, it also how it relates to other parts of the town. But, you know, again, some of the things you've talked about have been very evident in other people's recollections, that this was an area where, you know, a lot of people perceived it to be the lower part of the high street. So there was a sense of difference.
Mm. Mm.
So that's been really, really useful.
I know one of the things I did when I lived here, I played a cello at school and I was put into the Cheltenham Youth Orchestra, and that was held at Northlands in Pitfield. Mm-hmm. So I had to walk from the Isolde Cinema to Northlands. And I'm going back to now when I was, what, 15, 16, 17? It was quite safe to walk,
mm-hmm.
you know, me on my own with my cello. Whereas, and back in those days, yes, it was safe to walk. I don't think it would be now for a girl of that age on her own to walk that area. And I feel that's how the Lower High Street, yeah, it really does need bringing up
mm-hmm.
or knocking down.
Well, they're doing, I think, I think they have got this regeneration. Hopefully it will, I mean, it seems like there are still, I'm talking to people that are in their late 80s who still live there.
Really?
Tomorrow, yeah. Some other people that have moved to other parts of the town. Thank you for coming in and sharing.
Oh, wow. If it's been of any help, that's really good. When would the...